Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. Today is Tuesday, January the 12th. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's great to be back with you here once again. I want to say, especially if you're a first-time listener, if you might be somebody who reads my daily reflection, my email reflection, and you're coming to this podcast because of that, welcome to the program. It's really great to be able to connect with you in so many different ways, both on my network radio appearances and also through Facebook and through Twitter and through this program and through my weekly program and through my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's pretty great, at least in my mind, that we can stay connected. So welcome to the program. Whether you're a first-time listener or whether you've been here every day with me, I'm just grateful to have you. And today we're going to talk about something that, I've said this before. Typically, the way I design what these shows are going to be about, I don't plan them out in advance. I really ask the Holy Spirit every morning to lead me as to what I should be talking about. And I try, if at all possible, to base these on the daily Mass reading. So I go to daily Mass with my wife every day, and I listen to the readings. And I look for a phrase or a sentence, something that really catches my attention, something that I feel I should be talking about. And that's generally when I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me in a certain direction. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes the readings are not what I feel I'm supposed to talk about. But today I am. You don't need me to tell you, and we've talked about this a lot lately, you don't need to tell me to tell you that the world is a little nutty. The world is totally crazy, let's be honest. And not just the world, more specifically our country, the United States. If you happen to be living in the U.S., I realize that I do have overseas listeners as well. But the United States is crazy right now, and there might be something in your life totally unique to your life that is completely crazy. And it's very easy when you add all these things up to look at what's going on in your life, in your country, in the world, and conclude that God is on vacation, or he's not. That's the way I put it in my newsletter today, that he's on vacation or he's just taking a break and he's letting things spiral out of control. And that's not the case. I mean, he is very much in charge. We need to talk about that because, look, I feel it too sometimes. I don't believe it, but I feel it. And I think it's critical that we together recognize that sometimes our feelings are going to conclude that whatever we're going through is hopeless, it's never going to turn around, or somebody doesn't like us, or we're alone. Or, our feelings make us feel any number of ways, but they're not always true. And quite often our feelings are not true. Feelings are not facts. I'll say that a lot because it's a really true statement. Those of us who struggle with anxiety, we understand that oftentimes we're ruled by we want to be ruled by our feelings. Well, I feel this is a frightening situation, therefore it's terrible. The sky is falling, just because I feel it. Well, what we're ignoring is the fact that God is in control and he can do all things. So we need to work on that. And I think that's one of my jobs here, in any way I can, to let you know that God is in control and there really is no reason to panic. So we'll look at the evidence and we'll draw the conclusion. I'll tell you in advance the conclusion we're going to draw, that he is in control. And something in the first reading really hit me. It pertains to that. And I want to share it with you. Also, there is something in the gospel from today's Mass that I want to share with you as well, which ties into that theme. So, the basic theme of today's show is God is in control, even though the world is crazy, right? He's in control. And we as Christians, if we're ever going to find peace, we need to walk by faith and not by sight, right? We can easily allow ourselves to give in to despair, to become hopeless, to panic, if we don't look at the truth. And we need to look at the truth, not the reality of what's going on in the world. The reality of what's going on in the world, it's real. You turn on the news, you see things. Now, sometimes you get biased reports. You can't. Unfortunately, we can't trust the media anymore, and that's not just a. It's just not me pointing to liberal media sources and saying, "Aha, they're fooling us," because that might be true. But we have sources on the other side, the radical conservative side, that are letting their bias slip, and so it's hard to find the truth anymore. Like, is this really what's going on, or is there a hidden agenda? Right. I mean, and that's a legitimate question because there's evidence for both sides of that story. Here's the thing. We need to look to Jesus because he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, he's the life. Jesus doesn't lie. His truth is the truth. So we need to focus on him and his truth, which is the truth, and not be swayed by what's going on around us. I am not advocating that we bury our head in the sand. I'm just advocating that we know what's going on. Yeah, I watch the news briefly. I look at some headlines in the morning, maybe a couple times throughout the day. But then I go back to the truth. What's the truth? Through faith, I know that God is in control, that God is all powerful, that God can do all things. I know that. That is the truth. So therefore, he's bigger than COVID. He's bigger than the political unrest in the United States. He's bigger than terrorism. That doesn't mean that those things happening are not real. It just means that they're not bigger than God. And I, as a human being who tends to follow my feelings, even though I know they're not facts, that's my tendency, I have to be careful. And I need to remind myself that God is in control, that God is all powerful, that God is all loving. And that's why you'll hear me pray. I'll say that at the beginning of my prayers when we pray together on the program. He doesn't need to know that he's all powerful. He doesn't need to know that he's all loving. He doesn't need to know that he's present everywhere. He knows that. But you and me, we need to know that. We need to be reminded of that. And I think it's important for us to keep reminding ourselves of the truth, you know? Let's talk about that today. Okay, I hope you'll be able to stick around with me for the entire program. Speaking of prayer, how about if we do it? You and me, let's pray together now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, Father in heaven, it's kind of amazing. You are Almighty God, the creator of the universe. You sustain all things. You keep the planets moving. You keep them in existence. You keep us in existence. You somehow manage the entire universe all at once, and yet you are always available for us when we want to have this conversation with you. I guess it shows us how significant and important we really are in your eyes. We mean something to you, Father, and that's a blessing, and I'm very grateful for that. So, Father, thank you for always being here for us. Thank you for not saying you're too busy. Thank you for not saying, what's your name again? You know us intimately. In fact, you know us better than we know ourselves because you created us cell by cell. And I need to say that sometimes, Father, not because you need to know that. You know it, but because I need to know it and I need to remember it. We matter, Father, to you. You love us not for what we do, but for who we are. Your loving sons and daughters. Wow, that is a privilege. Father, as we turn to you with thankful hearts, we recognize that you are all-powerful. You are all-loving. You are present everywhere. There is no problem we can present to you that will cause you to be challenged in any way. You can handle everything. Sometimes it doesn't seem like you can handle everything. But that's because we assume that we know what's best, how you should fix problems. But in reality, you know what's best. So, Father, help us to trust you more. Help us to accept the fact that you are in charge. The fact that you are in control, the fact that just because you appear to be silent, it doesn't mean you're doing nothing or you don't care or you're powerless to help us. None of those things are true. Help us to remember that, Father. We present to you our needs this day. And we present these things to you confidently, knowing that you can handle them. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. Give me the words. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know. You know. Help me get out of the way. Send your spirit upon me today so that I know exactly what I'm supposed to say. And Father, I also ask you that you open our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to your message and act upon it. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you ready to go? All right, I feel good now. Do you feel good? You know, it's important that we remember these things. It's so easy to forget. You know, you don't turn the news on every day and have the commentator say to you, remember, this COVID-19 pandemic, it's pretty bad, but God's bigger. You're not going to hear that every day. You're just going to hear the bad news. There is no bad news when it comes to God. It's all good news. He's in charge. Yes, there is suffering. There is chaos. There is turmoil in this world. But what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He never denied that we would have suffering in John 16:33, but he said, I've overcome the world. I'm bigger. Remember the storm when the apostles were out on, it's one of the storms, the second storm at sea. They're out on the boat by themselves. Jesus told them, you guys go ahead. And they went without him. Then he came walking to them on the water, on the Sea of Galilee. The storm. He walked on it. He was bigger than it, you know? So he's bigger than anything we could ever face. I'm so excited when I get to deliver this message to you. And guess what? I'm speaking to myself too, because I need to hear it as well. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was looking at the news, and I don't like to make a habit of it, but I also feel I should know what's going on. So at the end of the day, I was ready to go to bed. Eileen was getting ready, and I was going to meet her. We were going to turn in for the night, but I decided to scroll through my Facebook feed, which is always, you know, it always turns out to be a mistake. For the most part, this stuff doesn't bother me, but for some reason, my eyes just kept focusing on the negative stories about the coronavirus. And I'm not going to go into them all, but it was one thing after another, which was like taking all my hope away and just sucking the joy out of me. And people that had the virus, and they're explaining what they're going through. And it's like, oh my gosh, no. I don't know what happens if I get it? You know, and my mind started to go there. Because that's how I am. I have that tendency. It's pretty well documented that I have that tendency to be anxious. And if I feed that anxiety, you know, if I let that anxiety be fed by these countless accounts of what can happen to you if you get COVID and people talking about the symptoms and everybody, and people without any weakened immunity or anything, with no underlying conditions, that's the word I'm looking for, they die suddenly. You know, and the media highlights these stories. So before you know it, I'm starting to feel myself get all spun up and freaked out. And then I had to just turn it off and say, no, Lord, you're in charge. You're in charge. If you need me to suffer, there's no way I'm going to get around it. You know, I do believe in taking precautions, using common sense, because God gave us common sense. But, you know, I found myself going down that negative road. And I started feeling scared. And I started feeling bad emotions because I was playing the what-if game. And the what-if game is when you start coming up with these scenarios. Well, what if this happens? And then if that happens, then the other thing's going to happen. And you're like five things down the road, none of which have happened. And what happens? Your these bad thoughts, these negative thoughts produce bad feelings. It happens. So all of a sudden, we find ourselves feeling sad or frightened by events that haven't even happened. God doesn't give us the grace to deal with imaginary problems. And that's what happens when we play this what-if game. So we're imagining these problems, these potential problems, and there's no grace associated with them because they're not real. So we got to watch the thinking, and we got to watch our sources. Whatever you put in your head, you know, if you're putting junk in your head, you're going to feel it. And I really believe sometimes, I think God lets me go down this road. And he uses my weaknesses so that I can help others. And it's one of the reasons I feel I'm here. I do the show. I write my books. Because I know what it feels like. I'm not one of these guys who just doesn't have a tendency to worry about anything. I don't worry now anywhere near as much as I used to because I have come to know Christ. And I really, I walk with him every day. But you've known people who say, well, I just don't worry. It'll all work out. And they don't even have to be religious people sometimes, right? They just, some people have that tendency to not worry about anything. They're not anxious. They don't think worst case scenario. Some people are like that. I'm not one of those people. But with the help of Christ, I can live my days peacefully. But I have to know what to do. So too much news eventually is going to make us depressed. Too much Bible, too much prayer, it's never going to do that. It doesn't do that because you hang out with Christ and you're going to be more peaceful. So I just had to say that. I'm one of you, you know. I don't have it all together. I really don't. I know the answer now. I know what Jesus has done in my life. But I'm still a really weak person. And I think that's why you want to listen to me. Because I know the answer. I know what I have to do. And when I do it, it works. But I also know what it's like to go down that other road. That road we can easily slip and go down. So my goal is to try to help you go down the road of Christ and to let him give you his peace. Okay, that's my goal. I guess I better stop talking or else I'll never get to these readings, right? You know what? You're great. Thanks for hanging out with me. It really means a lot. In case you are a first-time listener and you want to find out more about my work, my website is followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com for more information. Let's look at these readings now. This is from Tuesday's Daily Mass today. The first reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews. It's chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we were speaking. Instead, someone has testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with the glory and honor, subjecting all things under his feet." Now, this reference comes from Psalm 8, which just happens to be the responsorial psalm for today's Mass. So we're talking about Jesus here. In subjecting all things to him, listen to this, he left nothing not subject to him. We're talking about God sending Jesus into the world, the Father sending the Son into the world. Yet at present, we do not see all things subject to him. But we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. He for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. See, when we look at Christ, if you transport yourself back 2,000 years, you're going to see a broken man. Somebody was crucified, murdered, subject to all kinds of abuse and torture. But the important thing to remember is that he was in control. I know it sounds crazy, but he was in control, and he let that happen because it was part of the plan. That's why he was here. That's why he came to earth, to suffer and be crucified for you and for me so that the gates of heaven could be opened, so that we could be redeemed. But look, if you're back 2,000 years ago, you're one of his followers. Imagine you had always wanted to see Jesus of Nazareth, and you traveled from a distance, and you finally made it to Jerusalem. You never got to see him during his public ministry, but you got there on Good Friday. And he asked somebody, "Like, who's? I'm looking for Jesus of Nazareth." the man who performs miracles, the man who claims to be the Messiah. You know where he is? And somebody says, yeah, he's up on that cross. You're going to look at that and say, are you kidding me? My eyes are telling me that guy was not who he said he was. And it's the same way when you and I turn on the news, look at the world, look around us, become freaked out by the problems that are happening, by the hopelessness that surrounds us. That's what our eyes are telling us. But by faith, we know. And this reading that we're looking at from the letter to the Hebrews confirms it. Jesus was in total control, and he still is. The facts don't necessarily support that, right? I look at the news, and if you're just using that to support the fact that Jesus is in control, good luck. Your life might not support that. You look at the facts and you think, like, I'm unemployed. I can't pay my bills. Everywhere I look, it's nothing but sickness. You know, it's you can't necessarily look at the facts of your life or the life of the world or the events of the world and come up with a series of statements that support the fact that Jesus is in control. And that's why he gave us faith. Because by faith we can do that. That is why St. Paul says Christians need to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you feel that your problem is hopeless? I feel that some of my problems are hopeless at times. I feel it. But you know what? By faith I know that they're not. And eventually, here's what I believe, that head knowledge, knowing by faith that all things are possible with God and that there's no such thing as a hopeless problem, I believe it eventually will work its way into my heart, and I believe it'll do the same for you. But until then, that faith has to be in our head. We got to cling to that faith that's in our head, that knowledge that through faith, God can do all things, that God loves us, that God is in control. And you have to keep telling yourself that sometimes and acting on it. Every morning, my wife and I say, Father, we surrender to your will. Do I always feel it? Do I always trust it? Do I always feel this incredible trust for him? No. Heck no. But that doesn't stop me from doing it. Trust isn't a matter of feeling. Trust is a decision. When I used to fly to speak at events across the country, I trusted that the pilot knew what he was doing. Sometimes I didn't feel it. You know, I mean, I can't prove it. But I trusted. I made that conscious choice. And I think that's what we need to do, especially when we're looking at the craziness of the world. And God knew that. He knew it would be hard. And that's why he gives us the gift of faith. When we're first baptized, we receive faith. Paul's world was crazy too. So that's why when Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight, he knew what he was talking about. Because unless you walk by faith, you're going to lose hope. Let me tell you, there is hope. There really is. And God is very much in control. And just because Jesus subjected himself to the abuse of those who put him to death doesn't mean he wasn't in control. He was absolutely in control. And it was all part of God's plan. Great plan, right? Yeah, of course it's nuts. But that's why he's God and we're not. Because me, Mr. Know-it-all, the guy who thinks he knows everything, I'm going to look at God's plan and say, what a stupid plan that was. But I'm not God. And if I keep using that faulty human logic and looking at God's work and criticizing his plan, it's not going to do anybody any good. So this is why we have faith. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. It's not easy to trust, but again, trust is a decision. So let's make that decision today, okay? Briefly in the gospel, one of the things, I'm not going to read the whole gospel because we are running out of time, but one of the things that came out of the gospel, this is from Mark's gospel, is that it mentioned that Jesus commands even the unclean spirits and obey him, and they obey him. And Mark writes that his fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. you know, if you give Christ a chance to work in your life, if you look at what he does in your life, if you look at what he has done, and that's why it's important to read scripture. He did some pretty amazing things. And I've seen miracles in my life too. But you can't keep expecting to see the miraculous signs and wonders. And the Lord knows that. Again, part of his plan. So sometimes he's going to let you sweat it out because he wants your faith in him to grow. He wants you to step out into the water like Peter did, the fisherman who knew better. He knew that he couldn't walk on water, but he saw Jesus and he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, it's me. Come on. And Peter did it. Not because he felt that he was going to be able to walk on the water, but because he trusted Jesus. And I really think that's what we're all going through right now. We're at this particular time in history. It's happened before. But for me, I'm seeing a lot of crazy things converge right now. They're happening together. And it's really a time to step out in faith. I would invite you to do that. I think it's going to bring you peace. I know it brings me peace. But don't panic. You're going to slip up sometimes, like Peter did. You know, you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to sink. Take your eyes off Jesus, start watching the news, you're going to sink. You're going to feel hopeless. You're going to feel overwhelmed. But that's when you do what Peter did. And you cry out, Lord, save me. And he grabs you immediately and saves you. So if you do that, you're going to be fine. Hey, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you today. It's just so awesome to be able to spend this 30 minutes with you every day. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to thank you for the emails I've been getting. And as far as the donations, thank you for those too. If you have not yet donated or become a monthly sponsor to my work, I really could use it right now. I don't want to overly sound any alarms or anything, but times are tough right now. If you can help me to sustain my ministry, I really need you right now. So if you're willing to go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate and either become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation, it would really help me right now. And I thank you in advance for that. I'm praying for you. Hang in there. God is in control. Don't panic. And as I always tell you, God willing, I'm going to be back with you tomorrow. Hope you'll be able to join me. God bless you.